You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 134. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we are going to pick apart some Make It So cards. We got an email from one of our agents to help us out with that. We'll talk about a TUI tournament that we had this week and looking ahead to more TUI tournaments this weekend. Rumor has it we might have a 1E spoiler by the end of the show, but that is in progress. And I say we jump in. So the final two sets have been posted for Make It So. Going in, how did you feel about the spoilery preview things?
I liked... I was kind of waffling about the equipment concept.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked the idea of trying to make equipment more interesting. It is a little underused, and it, you know, except for, you know, very key cards, but I was a little skeptical of the ability to make that carry the, have that the a theme that can carry a whole set. The spoiler was, you know, it was a nice tease. I liked it better than the Paradise Lost spoiler. I think just because this hinges upon the usefulness of this hinges upon your opponent doing two planet missions.
Sure.
So that was the, you know, hopeful optimism response, I guess. I mean, I like the idea of the Paradise Lost. As far as themes, you're talking more about the spoilers, and I've sort of tangented. But I think I like the Paradise Lost theme better than the most toys initially, but for the spoilers, I think I liked the equipment spoiler better, or the dilemma.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. I think it was Johnny that pointed out, I don't play equipment because I'd rather play personnel with those skills and because they come with attributes.
Yeah.
I generally feel the same way. Usually if I put equipment in my deck, it's because I'm doing something silly. You know, I'm using it for Fajo's Menagerie as a card draw engine, or all my guys are really expensive, so I'm throwing in ETUs.
Yeah, or you're running, you know, a grab plate trap, so you need something to fuel it. It's never about the equipment. It's about the cards that key off the equipment.
Yeah. And in that case, I can't tell you. I mean, I might have thrown in a tricorder or something if there was a mission attribute, a mission skill that came up a lot, and I had a fair amount but not enough, and it just really fit well, I might throw it in. But really,
I mean, if you're
not so much.
If you've got a theme deck like we noted a couple weeks ago, or I noted anyway, that the holograms have no archaeology, at all. So if you want to run holograms, like 100% holograms, you're either going to run without it, or I don't know why I didn't think about it, but I saw Matt who's a tricorder kit,
something like that,
something, one of them that gives you archaeology. I was like, that's a great idea. You know, back when I tried to run first level androids in Necessary Evil, you know, Lore had all the skills for one of those 45, I think it might have been Siege of AR 158. He has everything but physics, so I would throw in the engineering kit and give him physics.
As long as he doesn't bite it, you can pretty much solve it with a few people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that reminds me of the old
shtick
was
decks.
Was it the old Goval deck? If you give him an equipment, he can solve like three missions with the right the right stuff. So you just put a personal force field on him, and then, you know, set up your ships in the right way, and then go nuts.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So that's been my relationship with the equipment. But jumping into the set, I mean, there's a set about equipment. Five, so a third of the cards are actually equipment.
Yeah.
What? I don't know if I was expecting more, but if you, but I think it kind of was. I don't want to say, you know, half equipment, but I, you know, that's kind of let down a little bit. I mean, the first dilemma, harmless toy, right? It's about the Katarian game. I didn't actually get that in there. You know, I as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, right, we can see what that does. And I'm looking forward to catch the white near a lot of commit. Oh, it's not actually in here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought that was actually kind of a clever, because Katarian game, or what, is it just the game? Katarian game. Yeah, it is a dilemma in 1E.
Sure.
So I thought that was a nice, you know, homage, if that was in fact the intent. And if it wasn't, then well done anyway.
Well, I was looking for, you know, this one in particular, you know, you give them the equipment and they get stopped for whatever the cost is. So, you know, some kind of, there's a lot of things that key off the cost of equipment. So it's hard to do an equipment that costs five and says, you know, this equipment is cost minus four. Because then you've got, you know, yeah. What was it like? Is it back? So I know there's some Ferengi cards that let you toss equipment and get counters back. So that's hard to make work, but well, I feel like it was looking for that.
Yeah. And for this one in particular, as our intelligence pointed out, it doesn't say, you know, most of the cards or dilemmas that are in this vein say, you know, stop people up, you know, of at least that cost. You know, like minor revolt, you have to stop people of six or more. This is this just says equal to. So if I throw you a Batleth,
yeah,
and you don't have anybody that costs zero, all your people are stopped.
No, wait, what?
Choose a number of personnel equal to the cost of that equipment to be stopped.
So I would choose a number of personnel zero. I would choose zero personnel.
Oh, no, it's backwards. Okay, yeah. No. Sorry. Bad intelligence. Edit the slide.
Okay. All right. But
it's the this is clearly the tip we got is reading it as though you have to stop people with the cost.
Oh,
like
I get
their
it.
Personnel. That the personnel have to have the cost equal to the equipment.
So if I gave you a five cost equipment, you'd have to stop a two cost and a three cost. No, this is
right.
You'd have to stop that many. So I would just say, okay, I'll stop zero.
Yeah.
Which is where I was going with that high cost equipment that
right.
It downgrades itself. Now there is an equipment later on that costs less than you play it for. The CRM 114, it's minus two if you have Breener Smuggler. Now it's unique, so I guess. So what would happen if I gave you my copy and then I played another one? I couldn't give you another copy, right? Or
I don't think so, because you already command it. You know, I can't give you Ezri if you already have your own.
Yeah, but she would still go over there. So, your opponent place one of the equipment here, period. Oh, you now command the equipment. So I guess you do as much as you can. I give it to you.
So,
and
yeah,
then
you'd have to
stop.
You'd have to put it at that mission.
Weird. So I can just keep giving you guns. After I play the first one, you get it. After I play the second one, we'd move over there, you'd stop your people, but I'd still command it so I couldn't play a third. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, there you go.
Weird. What do you think? You know, I think, is it the Batleth? We just mentioned that when you win something, you get to do something. Is that you get to peel cards off the deck?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the winner.
Yeah.
Or the loser has to peel. If there's a Klingon present, then the loser has to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always remember that backfiring.
What do you think about this one, where if you win, you get to blow up an event?
You know, at first I thought that was awfully strong, but it doesn't, you know, it does require you to win a combat, which is not necessarily something you don't do, you know, you wouldn't do, but it's not something a lot of people do already, so it certainly gives you a little more incentive. A little more
see, a lot
reward.
More ship engagements than personal combat.
Definitely.
And it there's also it doesn't give you the permission. There's no permission card here to go start a combat. You still have to have some other card that lets you do that.
Yeah, and that's I think good, because then you have another benefit. You know, if you're playing Geminar Ambush or whatever, you want to go kill two guys or you want to go score 10 points, you can still get that, and then this is an added benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't get any bonus from it or anything. You know, it's not like plus 2 strength.
Right. That's kind of interesting.
On the whole, like all of the actual equipment, I think I liked.
I do like the Catcher Cell White. Really pushes the you have to have all three.
Yeah.
You've got to have a founder to make the stuff. You've got to have a Vorta to distribute it, and then the Geminar get attributes plus one. That's pretty neat. I like that.
Oh, man. Attributes plus one, though. That I kind of waffled on that. It is 3 costs, and it is unique.
Yeah.
So... That's
and it's not when facing a dilemma. It's just all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Combat.
That's
whatever.
That's definitely good. I don't know if it's bordering on too good or just good enough.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, to be fair, it's not 1E. I was thinking 1E rules. You'd have to send the Vorta in with the combat, but he's not going to get paired up. This isn't 1E, so it's just total versus total.
Yeah, and you can exclude.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't there some kind of cards that let you exclude Vorta from battle? Or is that 1E?
If nothing else, you could use the exclude from dilemma stuff on these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else here? What did you think about the Betazoid gift box as another equipment?
I remember thinking it was weird.
Yeah, you can put it under your deck, and then you can... Masaka yourself, right? You put your hand in your deck and draw that many cards.
Yeah. Place, yeah, cost 4 or more, facing a dilemma, but it's while you're facing a dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're using this to dig for a cheater card, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
Pump up your attributes. Excuse me. I'm trying to find the connection between that ability and Betazoids. You know, well, Troy or Luxana or anything. Because do they have any? Is there a Betazoid cheater card or?
Oh,
I mean,
well, you could do Empathic Touch. It's not Betazoid, but it's telepathy.
I need a little counseling.
I need a little counseling. Yeah,
I guess that'd be a good present. But wow, that you use it for more, I guess. The only thing I keep coming back to is Agonize. It was Agonize. What's the alternate universe, the mirror universe one? Is it Standard Punishment?
Oh yeah,
which doesn't really fit thematically, or Comfort Women, which is even worse.
Cluttering.
Yeah, I guess so. But are there a lot of? I guess the doctor has it costs 4 or more, yeah. So that would work for that. But
I mean, it's a cool idea. To be able to do mm-hmm. it in the middle of an attempt. I personally am not thrilled with it because I really don't... I mean, I think the meta has become so reliant on that deck type, that, you know, cheater deck type. I hate to encourage it like that, but at least you have to, you know, it's not go out and start attempting missions. It's an artifact, so you have to complete a mission first. You have to complete a specific mission.
Oh, you know what? You know what this is for? If you hit me, if I think you're playing with Swashbuckler at Heart, I've got 4 cards in my hand. 2 of them are interrupts that I need, like the Taric Nor one that gets me all the points.
Oh, man, you put them on top.
I put them on top of my deck, and then I throw this up, I put 2 cards under, and I draw them right back again.
Oh, wow.
Boo.
That's funny. Yeah. Or you could dig for nucleogenic cards.
Yeah. Wow, that's yeah.
It certainly is a gift.
Man, to give that gift to the ruling council is pretty rough.
Yeah. And give more people to discard with Garrick or any of those guys.
Wow, so you could if you got a handful of people and you got Garrick. You can pitch a medical to get past one part, and then you say, you know, maybe I can draw into another one. You pitch, you put your hand under, you draw that many more, and you pitch more personnel.
Yep.
Okay. I don't like this card anymore. were there any other that struck your fancy from the equipment set?
No, I think they're the get a hand weapon for the resistance is not bad. They seem to need a little bit more help than they actually get. Vosh going to get an equipment is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. And she costs 4, so she can use the gift box or the Horgon or.
Yeah. And there was some problem with Daniels, according to our intel report.
Discard a random card from hand to peek at the top card. Well, peek is a one-y word, but
right.
So that should be either reveal or
examine.
Or what's it? Examine? Yeah. Then replace it.
Yeah, peek at the top card and then replace it.
Well,
replace it is a so that I think that's a problem.
That triggers going back to your pile.
Well, because replace it is not really a term that we have. It's either it returns, which means it returns to your dilemma pile. So it would go under your pile, or you would have to, or return it to the top of the dilemma stack. You need to specify.
You know, if it was changed from peek at the top card and then replace it, you just examine the top card. Period. That'd probably solve that, though.
Yeah, that's true. You could just leave it off, and that would automatically put it back where it came from.
Probably so. Very good. I do have an issue with repurposed tool. I understand. The background that it came from, but I think that's kind of an engineering trick.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, being an engineer, being a scientist, it probably hits a little close to home there because I see them repurposing their tools, but that usually ends up with broken tools. So, yeah. And you know, spatula, ROM, that's more of an engineer thing. You don't have science, so.
Right, yeah.
All right, well, moving from the, you know, fun things to do with your cards to the fun things to not do with your cards.
Wow, that's apropos.
Yeah. What do you think of the whole lockdown mechanic?
You know, the idea is there. I don't know. It's certainly an interesting and very game-altering strategy. The idea of giving up a counter for the rest of your, you know, for all of your turns while you have this in play.
We've both played a deck recently that generates extra counters, right? You play with Unimatrix Zero?
Yeah.
So, that's the first thing I thought of when I was as well. If I just played a deck that routinely goes to 9, is losing one counter a turn really going to be that much of a detriment?
Well, and you know, I first thought of that Guardian's Advice or whatever, that deck that was running around for a while, that was drop it, get the benefit, pick it back up, so I don't get the penalty.
Yeah.
Or is it you get a benefit? We're supposed to both get the benefit, I think. Anyway, whatever reason, you wanted to pick it back up. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. This isn't really worded. Do I have to have one? Do I have one fewer counter? You know, what if I use my last counters to play this?
That's what they suggested on the board. Someone asked, and so you would use your last counter to play Alien's Graveyard, for example. You play your 6 counters, and you drop this. Now you only get 6, but since you've already played it, you don't have to worry about that until next turn.
Right.
So, I guess that's probably a bad example. You'd want one that, because when does Enterprise E that bounces stuff, is that's
an order.
That's an order, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm looking at these and trying to figure out which of those you'd want to bounce.
Yeah, because a lot of them are opponent's turn.
Mm-hmm.
So
you could conceivably, you can conceivably play this one turn, suffer the consequences for one turn, and then pick it back up. So on the third turn, you're no longer suffering. You could do that with, yeah, you could do that with a Enterprise E is pretty easy with a couple of cheap diplomats, right?
Yeah. Yeah, none of the, I don't know.
But thematically, I mean, we've been hinting about this. That's a tough thing to do to yourself.
Everybody talk, well, and, you know, surprise, you, that's obviously, you know, surprise party is a huge counter to that as well. Mm-hmm. But,
party atmosphere is virtually the same thing.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, you stack those up. If you're going to be playing a lot of one cost events, then you have them and you can try and counter that. You know, we've talked a lot about locally the security, the surprise party, you know, aspect, you know, when you get it, you know, do you play it? Is it worth, you know, you have to have it out two turns before it pays for itself. And then, you know, is that one counter after that going to add up to something useful? You know, a lot of these are low cost, so you're getting, I know it's almost like a, what's the magic term where you have to keep paying for something?
Upkeep.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's almost like an upkeep.
Yeah. It's you're pretty much paying one counter for this every turn, spreading the cost out.
I don't know that I would use more than one or two at a time. That would get kind of nasty.
You know what it reminds me of is playing like that Defiant Captain's deck where everyone costs four.
Oh god! And you'd never be able to play
every
turn.
Exactly. You get to play one thing and then draw a card or two, and then you look at your hand and realize, I can't play anything else this turn. I'm going to have to pitch cards or something, so get my optimism out or whatever. I'd probably feel the same way, except it would be for three-cost personnel. You'd be able to play a three-cost personnel, draw a card, and now I'm down to two counters left. Blah.
Yeah.
I suppose if you're playing a cheap cadet deck or something, that was what suggested one of our agents suggested.
Or you play in it. Yeah, you don't need the counters as much.
Exactly, but number one, that's really, I mean, who am I to declare what should be encouraged, but boy, that's not it. wow. I mean, I guess that Leighton works well with that. If you have a lockdown event out, you know, if you play a couple of zero-cost people, you could end up drawing as much cards as you need, but wow, he costs four. So that's if you have a lockdown event, that's everything, man. It's rough, and I feel like going from seven to eight counters is a smaller jump than going from seven to six counters. Does that make sense?
I agree. Mathematically, it's the same, but I definitely, you know, given the cards that you're trying to play, usually,
it feels like a greater percentage loss than percent gain. Yeah.
Well, and you know, we talked about using the Enterprise with it to pick stuff up. I don't know if that really works well, but even just thinking about the Enterprise, which costs seven,
yeah, you'd be out of luck playing anything big.
Yeah.
Which is funny, considering that you're supposed to be, you know, locked down on the defensive. You can't play any of your biggest ships like the Defiant or Enterprise E. Mer.
Now, this set kind of, I don't know if we done talking about lockdown.
Lockdown, yeah, sure, we can move on.
I just I'm looking at the rest of this, and I feel like there's like a line down the middle. Because there's the lockdown, and there are things associated with the lockdown, and then there seems to be like another half of a theme, which is planet missions.
Yeah. So it's been said that most people do a space mission, and then a planet mission, and then a planet mission, because in general, planet missions are easy, and space dilemmas are hard. So I guess my question is, I can see. No, let me take that back. In the past, it used to be you do a space mission. No, no, you do a planet mission, and then you do maybe a space mission, and then you go back into a planet until we got necessary execution and the like, and that sent us all running back towards space to start off with because you don't want unnecessary death, unless you're Johnny. Whatever. This looks like another push to alter the way people play. So I guess my question is, so now everyone's going to do space, planet, space because doing a third planet mission be hard. Then what? Do you try to alter it again?
And the assumption is that you're doing three missions.
That's a good point.
There are a lot of two mission decks. You know, there's a lot of 40 point carrots out there to encourage people to use big missions. You know, the winning deck for our tournament last night was a 250 point mission win deck. A lot of people use, you know, bonus points to try and turn the corner with 240s or 245s. You know, what if I'm not doing two planets? What if I'm playing four space in Voyager?
You know, then that's a lot of cards that don't do very much anymore.
Yeah. That was kind of my biggest beef with most of these is they harken back to a situation in 1E, not quite as bad because there are some 2E cards that do that, but you know, cards that have very specific situational uses that otherwise aren't really going to help you. Now, most of them are nouns, so you're still going to have a ship, you're still going to have a person who has skills and attributes. So they're not. It's not a wasted card like, you know, Maman Picard or something. but
on the other hand, you know you're paying a premium cost for that card.
Exactly. And that cost is going to be includes the ability, the game text of their abilities, and you're not going to be getting the most for that.
I really like the Starship T'Pau, the idea behind it. It's interesting to see a mid-range Romulan ship, just because usually they're either really big or really small, and that's kind of well, doesn't have a lot of weapons, but it's 7 range, which would be, you know, go up Apollo class, whatever. That could be canonical. I don't know, but that strikes me as, hey, look, there's a 2E card that's kind of telling a story.
Yes, the theme is definitely there. I would put it in my tent in case my opponent was playing Vulcan, you know.
I thought it was an interesting idea. There's a lot of funny Romulan stuff that I just never really got into. I remember back in the beginning, you know, back in the day, right, when we were playing at Comic-Con and it was only the first few sets were out. I remember, I think it was Matt had a Romulan deck where he wanted to be at your missions and he was trying to run you out of cards, and to do anything you had to discard cards, so you had to keep drawing. And it worked not so well, but you know, there was an idea there. I kind of like the theme of being at the opponent's mission and trying to do stuff, but
yeah.
Once again, each planet completed planet mission, that could be zero if I'm doing space and then planet, right? So, all right. Well, thoughts overall? I feel like we talked about the equipment stuff more than we talked about the Paradise Log stuff.
But. And there are a couple of I really like the Balana. It's kind of slipped in here, but it's a Klingon Balana that helps the Delta Klingons, which I think is cool. I like the Dissident Garrick. There's a mini pair of cards in here with the Alpha Jem'Hadar.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, but I don't know. I feel when my favorite cards in the set are the cards that don't go with the two major themes of the set.
How? All right. Well, I mean, I have to say, overall, I think these cards are pretty polished, would you say? I mean, we may not agree with how fun they are and basically putting them in a deck. I would say these are probably the farthest along of most of the cards we've seen in all the challenges, right?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, they seem to be costed well. I think that one of the dilemmas from the equipment set, the hostage situation, two cost, so you might be able to filter out security. Really, you'll filter out security, because if I know you've got a hand weapon, it's only going to stop one person, my choice. Because, you know, whatever.
Right.
But if you don't have a security or hand weapon, you get a kill. I think overall things are costed pretty well.
You know,
boy, that lockdown thing, though, paying for it now and for the rest of the game could be rough. But yeah. What do you think?
About?
Just overall. I mean, do you give a nod one way or the other? Or is it still up in the air?
You know, I feel like I need to look at them some more and think about decks that I would put them in. I don't want to just rush in because I have some initial reactions. I think they both did really good job of taking an idea that they liked and running with it. I feel like the Most Toys is a little bit more cohesive as a set.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely some very polished, very useful, interesting cards in Paradise Lost. It's going to be tough. I look through the voting page, and I think that might actually help me do it. Because it's just, you know, I don't know that I really have an idea of one set winning over the other. Mm-hmm. But I think sitting down and doing those individual ratings for each card and, you know, what was the best card, what was the worst card, and I think I'll just sit down and fill that out and surprise myself with who's the winner when I'm done.
I'm looking at the two. I feel like overall, since I'm, you know, I'm not in love with that lockdown thing, and that's a lot of the cards in that set. I feel like if these two sets came out, I would probably end up using, over the course of a year, you know, and a dozen different deck types, I'd probably end up using more of the Most Toys. Just because they seem like they'd fit a lot more different things. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I see what you're saying.
I feel like
there are individual cards that are more useful in different individual decks versus,
you know, worrying about a battle deck showing up and, you know, not letting my ships be attacked or whatever, or letting my opponent move to my headquarters, something like that.
I want to go through and look at them again, but I would lean more towards the Most Toys at the moment, just because mm-hmm. I like the cohesion of the set. I like that the theme seems to go through all of the cards, and you know, in a larger set, there's gonna, you know, not every card is gonna be strictly adhere to whatever the theme is, but this is a 12 cards, 15 cards,
15
boutique. I feel like, you know, you had 15 cards, and you know that should be a small enough set that you can pick one theme and go with it. And I like the idea.
Yeah.
A designer, you know, somebody on the team who can think of that big picture mentality, and
not
both,
try to do too much at once.
Yeah, and obviously both have their places, but I liked all like I said, my favorite cards in Paradise Lost were all of the individual cards that did not fit either of the main major themes. You know, it's going to come down to, do I like the individual card designer or the cycle? We'll see.
Very good. Well, I'm looking at the front page, and it looks like you can vote until, when's the last day here? The 25th of February. So this episode will be up long before that. So if you're listening to it, you probably still have time to vote. Go vote. Make your voice be heard, because in the end, you know, that's just who's going to be making more cards for us.
So that's
so
next
pick what you want.
Friday, right?
Sure. This is probably going to go up depending on how late I stay up tonight, either on Thursday, Friday,
no,
Saturday, or Sunday.
I mean, the deadline is next Friday, the 25th.
Right, but when they're hearing this, it may not be next Friday. It may be this Friday.
Well, they know what the 25th is. If we say the 25th and I say that's Friday, then I think they'll put two and two together. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So that's Make It So. It's been quite a journey for these guys. Ben coming down to the final two again, and Mr. Morris coming in with the last minute swoop into second. So
the other Mr. Morris, yes.
Yes, good luck to both of you.
All right. Topic number two. You, sir, played in the tournament on Wednesday.
Yes, I did. I, as I am wont to do, tried to do way too many things.
All right.
I started...
Okay, wait. Let me answer this.
Yeah?
How many achievements would you have won if you won the tournament?
14.
All right. How many achievements did you obtain?
6.
All right. That's still a lot.
Yes. And well, you know, and I didn't, like I said, it basically the same thing happens that always happens, except it's with achievements instead of decks. You know, usually I sit down to, I'm going to make a Cardassian deck, and I start thinking of this strategy, and I find a tangential strategy that could be supplemental, and I was like, oh yeah, let's throw that in too, that'll be cool. And you know, I add some more cards to that, some more cards to this, and then I can fill all my skill holes, and I've got a 90 card deck. And that's basically what happened. I was like, well, how about I build a thief deck? That's one of the new achievements, and I know the thief deck is slow, you know, it needs some tricks to get going, but it seemed, as I was looking through, it was like nobody's done the queue theme yet either, and that could be complimentary, you know, slow down my opponent. And so I went through and I picked out the requisite number of cue cards, and the, you know, I had thieves, and then, you know, I had, well, hey, look, I've got, you know, all but, you know, a lot of these cue cards are temporal. I'm gonna add like a couple more temporal cards, and now I've got the temporal achievements. And then I was looking through, and I was like, "Oh, that's right, the silver." That's or I was I, my dilemmas. I made all dual because I knew I wanted to try that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, "There's the silver anniversary, 25th anniversary. This is the Unity is the 25th set of 2E, big celebration." So there was a cycle to celebrate that, and I decided to make all my. It's like, oh, okay, you know, yeah, how hard can it be to get a dilemma each, with the exception of the set? Yes, thank you, everybody, who PM'd me that there are no dilemmas in Allegiance. So you can't have any dilemmas from that set. But so there are a couple of oddball dilemmas I threw in to fill that out. And then I was like, oh, well, those are my dilemmas. I wonder if I could, how many cards I would need to make silver for my deck. Too. So there's a handful of random cards in there that actually turned out to be really useful that I wouldn't have thrown in otherwise. So that actually was pretty cool.
All right.
I threw in a helping hand. And I swapped all my reliance for extra mercenary ships to match the fortune. And I threw a surprise Amity, which bought me an extra turn against Johnny. When I, you know, who was always somebody I need an extra turn against. But yeah, so if I had, I got those, and then if I had won, which I went 2-1, I came very close. That's not true. Very close would imply that I did well in my loss against Johnny, which is not true. But then I would have got the win versions of all of those, plus the, that's hidden. But no, somebody's got it. Okay, there's also an extra achievement for getting all four silver achievements, and then I would have gotten European style.
Oh, right. Okay, so that leads into my next question. How big were your piles?
My dilemma pile was like 50. It was manageable. It was quite good, actually. I was actually really pleased with it. Never drew into all planets when you're attempting space. It was pretty
Oh,
good,
okay.
pretty great.
Oh, well, yeah, because they were all dual.
It did lead to some abuse by Tell with Charlie's Cardassian deck. He had the pick of the litter,
Oh,
swapping
sure.
out, and I was fingers crossed did not play anybody playing Romulans with Patal. Free Patal. But the draw deck was pushing 100. I think it broke 100 after a while.
Oh, yeah, okay. I guess it's not
It was like
too ridiculous.
105 or something like that. Yeah, but it was, I had bustling and I had some discarding and downloading, and it was a lot of fun. I had a good time playing it. It was a slow start for a fast finish, and it worked better than half the time. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I barely beat Matt. I drew my Enterprise E or Enterprise A at the last minute after as we were doing our last turns after time was called, and solved my mission at last and held him off. So my mission was worth 40 points now.
Right.
And then I
All right.
squeaked a win over Charlie, but those both of those games were games that I don't think I would have won if we had played to the finish.
It looks like Johnny, what got, I see he pulled a Victor for TOS. What was he playing?
He was playing a pretty straightforward, lots of TOS guys. He by the time he was going to he was doing the 250 point missions, and by the time he was got to the planet mission, he had two teams of nine attempting.
Wow. So he was playing, well, was he playing a movie era or
No, it was
just
mostly
cheap OS
TOS,
base?
but there was a couple of Scotty from movie, because he could blow up my
Yeah.
stuff, which was timely. And I got my I actually got really great dilemma luck against him, and the exact opposite draw deck luck. So it kind of broke even, but in breaking even against Johnny means I'm gonna lose. To be honest.
Wow.
So
All right.
I forgot to use my it's been so long since I used Trial Never Ended that I forgot to pop it when I got my in development out against him. That was probably the biggest fail, but
All right.
still a good game and fun tournament.
Oh, congrats to Johnny for the win, and we're all going back at it again on Saturday. So, have you made a deck?
I started to.
Yeah, me too. I thought about several things.
Well, Charlie, I actually almost want to steal Charlie's deck. He played Cardassian Ferengi because it was the last Strange Bedfellows combo that nobody had done,
Oh, okay.
and actually turned out to be really good. He had Mirror Quark chewing up Tane.
Okay.
So he would play Tane and look at all his cards and discard
Oh,
some, and
neat.
then throw him under the bus with Quark, and then play him again, and and digging out, getting all his ships,
Yeah.
and using the Grommal and the and that crew to
Wow, okay.
yeah, it was a really cool deck, and he totally should have beat me, but he milled it. He forgot that he needed a draw deck left to play the Order Central Command. And so
Oh, yes.
he went to his last mission. He's like, "Yeah, sure, issue a trust. Half my people are stopped. I'll give my stop people skills, and then all of them are unstopped." And then he read the card and was like, "Oh, sad." And then we ran out of time, and I squeaked by. But yeah, no, he totally should have won that, and that was our. Yeah, it was a close game, and that was a great deck. I totally want to make a version of it that I'm sure will have too many cards.
Very good. I have, Well, I emailed you earlier, I think it was today, because I was looking at my achievement list, and it was something about doing one of all the TUI stuff, and I'm looking, and I've got everything from everything marked down as a player, but it turns out that the it doesn't look at your stuff for more than the 1st of 2011.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's when
I was looking at 2010, so I still have three affiliations I got to play. I suppose I could do a triple three headquarters. Is that you get something for just playing three headquarters? Or you have to win with it.
No, you get one for playing now too.
Yeah. See, why doesn't that show up on my list? All I have is it goes straight to triple trouble regular and then triple trouble master. I don't see triple trouble anything on there. Weird.
Huh.
I could send a PM to the achievement director.
Yeah, he's kind of lazy. You might want to bug him about that.
Maybe I'll CC the programmer. That'd probably be a better idea. All right. Well, I've got three affiliations to play. I might try to play all three because I came up with some stupid idea, or I might just pick one of them, or maybe even two of them. We'll see how it goes. But
two of those really
between
well.
That and Tribbles, it ought to be a good weekend.
I think so.
We're good. We have actually spoken long enough that our agent has been able to procure for us a spoiler. Have you received it in your Section 31 inbox?
I have. It is.
It looks pretty cool.
It looks really cool.
I really like the look of 1E missions because you've got the whole background, the stars going all the way through the top and all the way through the bottom, with just the text boxes floating on top of it. I really miss that in 2E.
Yeah,
this
looks pretty cool. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a big brown planet, but that's because it's from TNG, and there were a lot of big brown planets. it's called Revenge Plot. And this is... What was the name of this episode? Do you recall?
Oh, man. Yeah, I should. But I don't. Not The Last Outpost.
Yeah.
The Battle. The Battle. Isn't it?
No.
Yeah, because he thinks about the... Yeah.
No. I thought this was from the other Bok versus Picard episode.
Really? The later one?
Yeah. It's called Revenge Plot. I could be wrong. I guess we can just look up. Is it Camor, C-A-M-O-R, or is it Karnor?
I think it's an
Karnor
M.
Tell. Our version is not...
Camor.
It's an M. Karnor 5. See, because here you go. Lay genetic groundwork for vengeance against old foe.
Okay, yeah. So that's like a 7th season episode.
Yeah, that was pretty late. I can't remember the name of the...
No.
I really didn't like that actor's portrayal of Picard's possible son. I don't know why.
Maybe because he was
just
whiny?
Kind of... Yeah, very good. I said Revenge Plot. This is a 35-point mission. It has the requirements are medical, exo, and 2 treachery. Sorry, let me read this like a 1E card. Medical plus exobiology plus treachery times 2, or any Bok plus cunning greater than 35.
That is so. Yeah, you've got the. You can go either way. You know, you can do the classic 1E version of only using skills to squeak by a mission, or just have Bok and a bunch of Bok guys and still be able to do it.
It's 35 points. Ferengi can attempt it. Non-aligned can attempt it. That's good for the non-aligned Bok. However, this sounds like something that the Romulans and Cardassians could potentially do as well, so they're on there.
You know, classic treachery mission. Medical exo, that mm-hmm. sounds like a... And that definitely sounds like a TNG, whiteboarder premiere Romulan mission.
Yeah. Do they have an exo mission specialist? Is that Tackett?
Yeah, Tackett.
Yeah.
Why do we know that?
Because
he's probably the most common Romulan mission specialist. He's cunning 8.
Dude, so medical... He's got medical.
Medical.
You need
exo.
2 treachery guys. So 35 points plus 3 mission specialists is 55, 50 point mission?
Yeah. Halfway there.
It's pretty good. Span is 3, and it looks like the collector info and the set icon are blocked out.
So, more interesting things to come.
Very good. Are we out of stuff to talk about?
I think we are. That's a lot of stuff, though. We've got a tournament. Well, we've got
good
decks to build, and we've got people who need to think about their make it so voting. So let's wrap this up.
Agreed.
So we look forward to sharing some more 1E Intel and 2E Intel with you as we have it available. But in the meantime, we'll wrap up and give our customary shout out to Section 31 because we're awesome, and Warp 11 because they're awesome. I am Sir Rogue.
One more shout out. Our special agent who sent us some notes about the Megaso cards, Michael Van Bremen. Thank you very much for telling us what you would do to break the cards in the set.
Yes. Which is what awesome. every set needs to know.
Yeah. We need the MVB test.
That's right.
All right. So I talked over you. You were
Sir Rogue. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you to expand your power in the universe.
And I'll draw 134 to end. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.